Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Halloweener, All Hallows Eve, October 31. Wow, that was quick. In a few minutes, we'll be having spring again. But anyhow, we're going to continue on with last week's deal that we were listening to. And I rewound just a speck. So here it comes. Dr. Bell will be coming right up. Well, Dr. Bell, are you going to come on or not? What's going on here? He was here a minute ago. I heard him. Oh, it rewound all the way. No wonder. So we've got to fast forward a little bit. Ooh, yeah, you should have done that. There, we're going to start right about there.
Holy Ghost and the sun here. We got a whole deal going here. And we have what's called Dharma. And we have just created a nation. Okay? Three or more.
I did repeat it back a little bit, but we're good.
So we have a nation. So they go on and create. Now, I had this aura field. This woman had an aura field. The kid over here had an aura field, right? We're bumping off each other. First, we're bumping, creating this energy that creates karma. And karma is such that, well, I just gave her a swift kick in the butt, you know, and she went off somewhere else and she's thinking about it for hours. Boy, he kicked me in the butt. I'm going to come back 2 days later and hit him over there with a baseball bat, okay? There was a residual energy there, right? There was memory there, okay? Think about that, right? That residual energy, you know, is the astral plane. Got it? The astral plane. Okay? The Egyptians were real cotton or smart to this, you know. They found that if they, you know, embalmed the body with tannic acid and put it in the pyramid, you know, what they would find is a body would last forever. So they created mummies, but mummies weren't about resurrecting and running around like the mummy, you know. What they were trying to say is that through the Egyptian Book of the Dead being one of their writings, respect this temple, respect her, respect the kid, respect what's going on between you, because that is life. And that eddy, that current, you know, that you created is going to be the perpetuation of life. That's what they were trying to say with all of their mummies. And that's why basically the king and the queen, and finally the priest threw themselves in the embalming thing. But that's what they're trying to say. This means a lot. In the world today, if we could heal Dharma, three or more, we take away Kosovo, we take away Saddam Hussein, we'd take a lot of countries out if we could heal Dharma, wouldn't we? Very interesting. You've got to learn how to rock and roll in this planet and how the auras work. At night, when you go to sleep at night, okay, now that, you know, the wife and I got pregnant, we had six kids. One of the kids got old and died, went up on the astral plane. Now, what did that kid do that was here, went up on the astral plane? That kid is up there living out the reality of the potential of what it could be up there, and we call it what we call religion in the last 2,500 years. And then pretty soon, that child comes back, boom, incarnates back, and he's rocking and rolling again. We can prove that with one of my good friends, Tenzin Gyatso, who's called the Dalai Lama. You know, how many of you know who the Dalai Lama is? Well, the Dalai Lama, for those of you who don't know, is a guy, is a kid, older man, that tells his monks, when he gets old, you know, I'm going to leave my body now, 5 or 6 years from now, go out to this village, pick me up, baby, I'll be ready to go again, a new body. He dies 5 or 6 years later. They go out and they pick up the Dalai Lama. They bring him back in, and he's talking to everybody. He's this 9-year-old kid, and he's talking to everybody. He knows everybody in the monastery, telling him what to do, and just picks up on everybody's thing, and off we go again. And they know it's him. The CIA spent a lot of money bringing Tenzin Gyatso. When he was 15 years old, they brought him and his brother out back in the 50s. They spent several $1 million to sneak him out when the Chinese came in. And tried to kill him. Why? Because the consciousness of the Dalai Lama is the consciousness of immortality being expressed here on Earth. Very simple. In physical form. As is some masters in Japan. There's other countries, but he's a high-profile guy. You know? Tenzin Gyatso. It's really interesting. When you start to understand immortality, you begin to understand that we have souls, and we have over-souls, but mainly with us, we are individual souls. And we incarnate and disincarnate here within an area between the center of the earth and the area of the moon, over and over and over again for a million years or so, until we finally get it together and raise our consciousness. Now, with that in mind, what happens 300 years ago? 300 years ago, how many people were on this planet? Not near as many as there are here now, are there? A lot less. But if the soul is immortal, where the hell were they? They weren't here. Well, they were more on the astral plane, more working out stuff. But we procreated over and over and over and over again to the point that we start to reach what prophets call the apocalypse, which is the maximum amount of souls that can inhabit this planet and still keep the planet together. And so the disincarnation process, which used to take 1,000 years, can take 10 minutes. So what does that mean? That means that if I have a hardened criminal in a penitentiary, and he is guilty of murder and rape, and I execute him, I don't educate him because it's my fault he's guilty of that because I didn't have the time and compassion in my society to educate this man. I just put him to death, get him out of my way. Well, pretty soon karma becomes instantaneous. And this guy who I kill now incarnates back within a few years. And at 13 years old, he goes down to Jonesboro, Arkansas, and starts taking people out, 6 people out with his gun. And I arrest him. His name is Mitchell. And Andrew Golden, I look back at his record, and hell, 3 years before that, he was up on rape charges in Wisconsin. What do we got to say about that now? And then, how many of you know how Berlin fell at the end of World War II? How many of you know what really happened? How many of you know why General Montgomery and Dwight D. Eisenhower would not go in there with their tanks? They said, let the Russians go into Berlin. Because they didn't want to kill the damn kids that were defending it. The last 14 to 15,000 souls that died in Berlin were 14 to 15 years old. They were part of the Hitler Youth Movement. And they gave their lives against Russian tanks. Think about that. 14 or 15,000 of them. Very interesting, huh? A few years before that, in the Nazi concentration camps run by Heinrich Himmler, they had a thing they would do. They would take the Jewish kids in, 15, 16, 17 years old. They'd take them down to their concentration camps, and they shaved their head like American Indians. They thought the tomahawk, the mohawk, was really cute. This is what the SS really got off on. So they'd shave these kids' head and leave this band, and then they'd paint them orange and purple. And they'd parade them around these different death camps, like Treblinka, Auschwitz, places you've heard, for 2 or 3, 4 weeks, and then when they couldn't ridicule these poor kids anymore, they'd march them into a Fruhoff big trailer, which had no drains, and they'd give them Zycon B, and they'd gas them. So the last thing these young teenagers and mid-teenagers saw after being paraded around with colored hair was death and anger and violence. Tell me about the skinheads today. Where are they coming from? You know, don't say that our youth is rising on false pretense. Take responsibility and realize out of consciousness and understanding and wisdom that our youth is rebelling against the way we have treated them in the past. This has to come down to the school system. In our lifetimes, we started to go back to the original opening thing. I said we got 25,000 years around the Pleiades. 12,000 years ago, we had the destruction of a continent known as Atlantis, when Methuselah and all these people were killed. That was done by these greats. They came in with their what's called scalar wave warfare. Scalar waves are something that the Pleiadians have given us to use in a positive way, which I'll demonstrate to you in a minute. But in the wrong way, they become very disruptive, and karmically, their damage goes on for lifetimes. This is what happened. During the scalar wave warfare of Atlantis, 3 areas went down. Atlantis, Poseidon went down. The capital of Poseidon happened to be about 3 miles off the coast of Miami, known as the Bermuda Triangle. Now, I worked at the University of Michigan. We didn't call it the Philadelphia Experiment at the time. We called it the Stealth Experiment. If you look in my book, you'll see all the stealth stuff that I've written about on the B-2 and all the different things that I've done in stealth, because I've written all about it. But in those days, we were interested in the fact that minesweepers, which are wooden ships that would go out in the Atlantic and Pacific and look for mines in World War II and become magnetized and the nails in there, would have to come back up to Philadelphia to become degaussed. So on their way from the Atlantic or the Pacific, they'd go up through the Bermuda Triangle, and they always maintain radar distance between these ships. And during the times of the Bermuda Triangle when it was activated, these ships would become invisible, even though they knew they were a mile akeel from one another. And that began, those studies is what started off the Philadelphia experiment, which led to the B-2 and the F-117. That's where it all started. So you can look at technology and understand the kind of things that happen. When you're a person, you are, today, we only get like 10 decades, if you make it to 100, of 10 expressions of life. I became a Pleiadian contactee of extraterrestrials in 1971. And they are a life form just like us in physical appearance. They're friendly, but they live 1,500 years because they've taken stress, what we call negative EPCs or electrical precursing energies, out of their life, you know, their lifestyle. They've actually done something to make themselves live longer. But in our life, the first 10 years, because we only have 10 decades, basically, first 10 years we're learning how to make the body work, stand up, say da-da, walk around, learn a little bit of reading and writing. That's the first 10 years. The second 10 years, now we start to lay back and start make judgment. Now we start making value judgments. From 10 to 20, we make value judgments. This is where the problem begins. Because still, most children are fairly clear in their eyes and their visions of what right and wrong is, but they don't see the father and mother doing right and wrong, and they sure as hell don't society doing right and wrong. And depending on if they're looking through the eyes of an assassinated Nazi or a skinhead that was killed at Auschwitz, or wherever, which a few of them are, they start developing huge biases that becomes their entire reality. That entire reality consumes them in that next 10 years, or it liberates them. If they're high enough and strong enough and spiritual enough, which some are, they become great teachers. Then we go from 20 to 30. Then what happens is if we make it that far, and I work with a lot of teen suicide. I work with many school systems. I work for the state of Oregon. I used to assess their drug and alcohol consumption in their different classes. I've worked with a lot of school systems. I'm not just talking from hype. I'm talking from experience. But when you get from 20 to 30, we start getting career-oriented. Now, if we survive the second 10-year period, which is the hard one, we start to get into career. We start to look at something we want to do, something that we can do. And if it starts to work by the time we're 30, we're starting to make it. 30 to 40, we start really zeroing on career. And at 40, if we're lucky, in the early 40s, we start looking back on our life, maybe assessing retirement. At this point now, we're looking at how we can contribute to make people behind us in the world that we live in a better place. And that, unfortunately, becomes the few chosen few that reach that point and start making those decisions. And beyond that, you know the rest. But that's how life works. There's no other way that life works but that way. And when you start to understand it, you begin to get a real realization, okay? Now, what we developed, I got into the science of electrical precursation. And that was the science of stress in my work. And I found that, you know, your body is mineral, enzymes, vitamins, proteins, polypeptides, hormones. That makes hormone is the first biochemistry unit of consciousness, possessing consciousness. And there are seven different endocrine glands. And these seven different endocrine glands secrete these hormones up to the brain, and hopefully the brain will fire off synapses to make my aura put out a frequency of consciousness, and that will attract to me or repel from me. It would allow me to go into an area where I should normally carry a gun, but I don't need it because my aura frequency is higher than these people carrying guns, for example. Or it allows me to go into a school and do teaching because people are attracted to the aura because I have a teaching aura, these kind of things. So we began to do a lot of experiments how to make people stronger. Okay? Now, most people are not even aware of their own, what I call, pranic energy. Now, I want you to experience your own pranic energy. I want you to sit up. Okay? Take a couple deep breaths. And all you got to do is breathe from your stomach, rub your hands together, pull your hands apart, feel what happens between them. Feel anything in there? Oh, yeah, you can feel that, can't you? Yeah. Now I can take this device here, which is Pleiadian. rub my hands together. And I can put this over your hand, and you'll feel a difference. And I'll do that with a few people. Rub your hands together. Hold your hands up. And I'll just hold this down over your hands. And you'll feel the energy increase. Pretty neat, huh? You can do this tomorrow. My wife will be here. I can't do everybody in the audience, but you know, it's nice to be able to feel stuff. Well, that thing likes you. It jumped right on you. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was good, huh?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
It's cool, huh? Well, I'm going to explain that in a minute, you know. We're going to just have a little fun. Show you that there's something's going on here. I also make a pyramid that you wear on your head that'll do the same thing, even more intense than this. But I want to get the point across. This thing is a device that does that. Feel it? Yeah. Yeah. See, it's like getting in touch. If you took your hands together and rubbed them like that, okay? You want to try it? Yeah, yeah, they're waiting, aren't you? We can do all this tomorrow. You come over to our little table and we'll show this to you. Cool, huh? You know, this is energy. It's like, you know, stretching. You know, oh, get the back working, you know. Stretching. We got to do that. We got to make our bodies alive. Deal with that. Anybody over here want to try it on this side? Okay. You can breathe with it, you know. You've got to get the breath into the body, you know. You just don't do it. You got to breathe with it. Okay? Ready? Yeah, cool, huh? Anybody over here? Okay. You didn't try it yet? Okay. Here you are. I'm waiting for you. Right down in the center, okay? Now we're going to go a step farther than this, but we're just showing you. This is called G-force, you know. G-force is the release of the minerals, the synapses in the brain that allows the cells to reproduce. You have 46 chromosomes in the body and a certain amount of base pairs per turn that allows you to reproduce cells. This increases that force. Okay? I'll make a much more apparent demonstration on that in about 1 second here. Okay? You guys are great, by the way. You can tolerate me for an hour. You know, most of the audience is throwing me out by now. Yeah. You guys having fun? Trying to keep the night alive. I know it's I'm the last speaker. Probably the last one on the planet, actually, but... Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll make this a little more dramatic. Let's say we got 500 chemicals in the air, right? So I want somebody up here for muscle testing. Who wants to come up here and volunteer for a muscle testing for a second here real quick? Okay, come on up. All right, I like it. Is your name Ginger? Could be.
I'm a triple Leo.
Oh! All right. Now put your arms straight out. What is your name?
Christine.
Okay, make a fist. Okay, now when I push down, resist. Okay, there's the strength. Now I have here PVC pipe weld. You guys have this for breakfast? Man, you do, but in a... Oh, take a whiff of this. You want to try it? Isn't that great? Oh, what you got into, huh, Christine?
I'm just
going to
hold it.
No. No, you're going to get high. Put your arm back out. Now put that up to your nose and take a whiff. Let's see how I resist. Didn't do too. Christine didn't do it. Leo energy didn't work. All right. Okay, now I put this on. I put your arm back up. Make a fist. I put that back up to your nose. Let's see what you can do now. Let's see. Resist. Wow, that's really good. That's pretty good. You like to get high on that stuff, huh? You did good on that stuff, huh?
Very cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah. What was that?
Call me Samson, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, God, you're good with that. Take her home. I'll give her the receptor and take her home. Huh? Yeah.
Would you like that, Ben?
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Christine showed us that she can become strong breathing PVC pipe weld clear adhesive. We're in the receptor. Now that's called electrical precursing energies. Because what happens is the hydrogen atom in your body gets weakened by the environment, okay? And when the environment weakens you, it brings you down. Because what happens when your environment, your elemental forces are weakening you, like electrical precursor energies, or ELF, you know, which is something else we could talk about. You become weak. But most people don't walk around breathing the glue, but in a subtle way, over a 24-hour period, you might as well have. This is just a little quicker. Okay, that's the only difference. Now, the first thing that happens when we come here, and happened this trip, like it always does, we have these receptors in a box, and we run them through the machine to get them on the airplane. Well, we always get busted. Always get busted. Didn't we get busted, Frog, with these? Yep. Why? Because they absorb radiation. They take radiation out of your body. And as a result, when they go through the X-ray machine, the X-ray people running these machines at these airports cannot believe that these things look black. They can't see them on their thing. They just see these black images. It happens every single time because they absorb radiation. We make them out of three different metals. The first metal is a cadmium zinc base. Zinc is something your body needs every day. Most people are lacking it. And it's a chemical, it's a mineral that your body uses more of next to calcium. So zinc cadmium was the first base that we made these things out of. Then we make them out of a silver base, which makes the effect of the unit a little bit stronger. We make them out of silver, they become radioactive, and after 2 or 3 days you have to rinse them off in the water. Otherwise they feel like you're wearing something is stinging you. And believe me, when you wear one, you'll feel that. And then finally we make them out of a gold, 18-karat gold, which I have to wash mine every day because it picks up so much radiation. So that's the first thing they do. Secondly, when you start to wear a receptor, we have to muscle test you. Because you're oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, so we just look at the hydrogen atom, and the hydrogen atom has 7 different frequencies representing 7 different endocrine glands, 7 different gemstones on the body. So we're looking from red to green to blue all the way down to violet. And everybody in here, believe me, is weak on a particular frequency, and when muscle testing, we test you, we find out where you're weak, and that's the color of stone that you need in the bridge of the receptor, and it's called a nuclear receptor, meaning nuclear forces within the body. Now, Dr. Glenn Rain at Stanford Research Institute in California, is one of the leading research medical accepted facilities in the world, has now observed these things, saying, in the medical practitioner's point of view, you know, high orthodox plane, whatever they come from, that we don't understand how these non-Hertzsonian, meaning non-magnetic waves work, but they have a profound effect on DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. Okay? That's a fact. And it's really interesting when you start playing with this technology. It was given to us by the Pleiadians in 1981, where it will take your life. And it will take it somewhere. Some of you might have instant divorce. Some of you might have instant attraction. It changes your aura field. Trust me, it does that. I love new audiences because you guys here don't know me too well. But you will. Trust me. By this time next year, I'll be the cursed word on the lips, you know, or somebody you want to talk to some more, one or the other. Okay? There's a lot about this. I do a lot of formulation with vitamins. Like I told you in Japan, we use Fotaijutsu and Gotokoa. You know, I use them in my vitamin formulas. You take chromium picolinate, just a little review now. You put that in your system when you start to get sick. Now let's look at something else. Okay, here I am, Dr. Fred Bell, formulator from many companies all over the world. Okay, I'm today going to, and I have to deal with FDAs or the equivalents of all these different countries. So today, I'm going to formulate in Japan for a little formula for these guys. They want something from me. I'm going to manufacture it and send it over to them. So I can put Fotai ginseng and Gotokoa in it because we know that builds up the electrolytes in the body and builds the immune system, right? But then I want to put chromium picolinate in there. The Japan FDA says, no way, baby. No chromium picolinate in this. No B complex of any sort, high concentrate, in this country. Okay, fine. We'll just put the other stuff in you're used to. Then I go over to Germany, which I formulated for, and I say I want chromium picolinate. Okay. Vitamin C. Okay. Fotai ginseng, Gotokoa. Germany. Red flags come up. Cannot have this stuff. It's a tonic. It's an elixir. We can't put that in your formulas. Then I go down to Singapore. Your body takes 5 grams of vitamin C. So I go down to Singapore. And I want to, you know, I do at least 0.5 gram of vitamin C, you know, in one of the new beet things, you know, the new non-acidic, non-toxic vitamin C's that we have. And they say, you can only put 56.8 milligrams of vitamin C per pill. 56.8. So that times 5,000, I'm going to have a whole bottle there that I'm going to have to consume to get one normal day of vitamin C. If I'm using my little beet ester C formula, you can take a whole bottle and have toxic side effects, but then that little stupid, it's a little over the top. Then I go to Canada, right up the road here. Been there, done that. We found that in the chain, minerals, enzymes, proteins, you know, polypeptides, hormones, we found, going back to proteins, we look in that window, the protein window. Why are we looking in the protein window? We want to look in it for a couple of reasons. One, we want to know why people smoke cigarettes, okay? We want to know about that. That's euphoria, right? So that's in that window. That's in the enzyme window. It falls in there. So we look in the window, and we see that people are smoking cigarettes for getting nicotine in their brains. But if we look at people taking B3 niacin, nicotinic acid, which looks almost the same, but takes 2 hours to get in the system, they're getting the same effect until you light that cigarette up, and bye-bye goes nicotinic acid, and in comes nicotine. So we know right away people smoking are short-circuiting that problem and creating lots of antigens in their body, which over a period of time become pathogens, becomes a disease. Then we look at, you know, again, we look at nicotinic acid, and we say, well, that probably binds up with something to make you feel euphoria. Why in the morning when I'm down at the ocean and the waves are breaking, the Lennard effect, and I see all these sprays of ocean or I'm up in the mountains and I see this great negative ion charge I'm getting, why do I feel so good? Look in the body. Well, we got a thing in the body, you know, and it's called vasopressin. It's a hormone in the pituitary. And the hormone in the pituitary is made up of nicotinic acid, lysine, and arginine, two amino acids, which I use in my vitamin formulas in that combo. Until you take it on an empty stomach so you can absorb it. So and what takes that away from the body? Some people get out of the ocean, they go up in the mountains, they get in the air and that, and they don't feel so good. They got to fall asleep for 2 or 3 days. It's called acclimation. And so what happens is they don't have the vasopressin in their body. Now they could cheat and go to the drugstore and get a prescription from Sandoz called Diapid and squirt this hormone up in your body because the Swiss figured this out a long time ago and made a chemical out of it. But unfortunately, if you start squirting that drug up your body, you might as well be taking cocaine because you're eliminating your body's ability to produce this thing naturally and you're now a drug addict. So that's not very smart. So what happens is I put lysine and arginine and B3 in my vitamins. I take them up to Canada, and Canada busts me for having amino acids. They call my amino acids lysine and arginine drugs. Okay? So there you go. That's how the formulation of the world works. Okay, now it's a 10 after something. I don't know what, but I don't know where, you know, what time it is here. But any questions? I'll take a couple minutes of questions before I stop, you know, or you throw me out. Anybody have any questions? Because I know you've gone over your space here. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The question was, would I talk about the endocrine glands and the stone references? In history, the references, stones have been worn for centuries. We obviously know that. But if you put them up in a field, like I was demonstrating earlier, they demonstrate different properties than they normally do. The stones can be looked at as a rainbow in the body. We only use them as filters. We use two different types. Okay, we use a synthetic filter or a synthetic gemstone. For example, we'd use a ruby for the head. A lot of times people come to me, they're overweight or underweight, and they've been diagnosed as having a weak thyroid, but we find that the problem is not the thyroid, it's the pituitary, which is a pink stone. So we put the pituitary on, and the thyroid problem goes away. Because the pituitary is what's called the tropic hormone center, and it secretes hormones into the body to handle everything that goes on. And this is a common misdenomination that takes place in a lot of clinics, and I've been to clinics all over the world, and I've been a subject of study of clinics all over the world, and this is ongoing, okay? Yeah. People that have high blood pressure, we use a sapphire, which is the heart chakra. It's blue. It's the second energy we talked about earlier, the attraction thing. The base of the spine is violet. Now, when I put synthetics on people, they start to get a reaction. Now, here's typically what happens, if you want to know what happens. This is typical. And I've never advertised these things. I just come up, do a lecture or two, sell a couple of them, and leave, and you guys follow me around. But what happens is the synthetics will cause changes in the body, and you start becoming aware of your body. They bring you into your body. And there's nothing wrong about being aware of your body. I know it's kind of a hard time, you know, to be aware. When I look at the stomach in the mirror in the morning, I got a bad, I say, man, I don't really know, that's not part of me. That doesn't count. There's something wrong with the mirror. But you get used to it after a while. You know what I mean? You know? So I got used to looking at my stomach being a little over the top. And usually it's more over the top. I've been traveling on airlines and their food's bad, so I've lost some weight today. We'll make up for it tonight and tomorrow, you know. So to deal with digestion, for example, we use a citron, a brown stone. Okay? So there's different colors for different frequencies. Then later on, people, usually what happens is if people really are serious about making a change and they start seeing a change, after about 90 days, your body reproduces cells at the rate of 50 million per second. And that's an area where I got into negative ionization. I don't know if you know much about ionizers, but I developed ionizers in this country, many, many different brands. Because your body can't reproduce one single negative ion without ionization. In the old days, we used to have 10,000 or 5,000 positive ions and about 4,500 negative ions per cubic centimeter. The body would reproduce at a normal rate. Today in this room, we probably have 10,000 positive ions and probably 150 negative ions per cubic centimeter, meaning that our bodies aren't reproducing right now. If we go outside and take a whiff of air, we're probably going to feel a lot better than we are in here, unless we have a receptor on, right, or an ionizer going. So I got in the field of ionization, which is another story, and developed ionizers for a lot of different companies, including some of my own. But the bottom line is, after 90 days, your body reproduces the second generation of cells. So it reproduces 50 million cells per second, and the first whole bunch of cells that your body reproduces is a red blood cell in 90 days. And then whole groups of cells in the body and complete organs completely rejuvenate until after 7 years has gone by. 7 years, you've rejuvenated every single cell in your body. Now, this is where electrical precursing energy falls in. We find that with tests, with using the receptor, good nutritional programs, the pyramids which we make, things like that, the body starts reproducing after about 6 months enough cells that the people find, hey, I'm finding a change in my body, awareness thing, I've got to change the stone. A lot of people will change the stone. They say, after 6 or 8 months, I felt it for a while, now I'm not feeling it anymore. Because your body, while it's producing the first 90-day cell pattern reproduction cycle, or whatever, will feel a difference. You will actually feel it. And so what happens is we start changing out the stones. And that's, going back to your question, we change the stone. So a lot of times people will get the silver receptor because we just change the stones on it. And if you get the nickel, the cheaper one, which is works fine, you just have to change the entire receptor. And so this is the kind of stuff that people go through when they're wearing one of these things. We got another question now. Yeah. Well, first of all, I recommend that you get your aura field into what's called auric offset, which in my little receptor booklet I explain this. This means your pH factor in your body should be approximately 8.2 to 8.5. If your pH factor, if you get that little piece of litmus from a drugstore in the morning and you bite it and you turn that thing purple, I don't care how much cancer you digest or how many AIDS patients that you're doing mouth-to-mouth with, you're not going to come down with anything because your immune system is so up that all this stuff is balanced out in your body. To balance this out on a nutritional level, I recommend huge amounts of trace minerals. Okay, I'm also writing a book on herbs because I study a lot of Ayurvedic medicine. But I'm not ready to espouse all my herb knowledge at this point. I use in my vitamin formula about 33 different herbs. I will say this, those of you who take herbs, I work with ginseng, I work with ginkgo, I work with St. John's wort, I work with many, many herbs you've never even heard of. And your body has an elimination cycle. Do not take an herb, or repeat, do not take an herb unless you know what it is and know what time of day you're taking that herb. Okay? Because herbs can be incredibly destructive to your body if you take them the wrong time of day. Now, most herbs that you buy in a health food store are, capsule. Well, you can take all those you want. They're dead herbs. The only herbs that really work are in a tincture. Okay, you get those little bottles with a medicine dropper on them. Those herbs are alive. The rest of them, it doesn't matter. Take all you want. Go down, fall victim to one of these commercials, these ginkgo commercials that you see on TV. We'll make you think better, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. You'll just fill their billfold up until you learn about herbs. And I am working on a book on herbs that explains the timing of when to take this. What I have been able to do is I've been able to take people that have been incredibly heavy alcoholics and restore all the organs in their bodies so that they can go out and become, they can have an occasional drink and control themselves and not go crazy because they're intact again. long before alcoholics became alcoholics, they were intact. But lifestyles, life situation, pushed them over the edge, and if they're a type A personality like I am, triple Leo, you got to really toe the line. But I've actually educated people and put them on a straight and narrow. You don't have to take away in abstinence anything from somebody. You got to bring their body back to balance where they can bring upon themselves their own internal integrity. And there's no time in life, when you can't bring your personal integrity back to what it was long before you made stupid decisions in your teens or whatever. There's no excuse for that. But you can't, unfortunately, rely on what you see on TV, hear on the radio, and read in most books. Because people are out to make a buck. And they want to take you on this trip. They want to take you out on this trip. Believe me, I've been on all the trips. I've got enough tickets in my pocket to ride every Disneyland ride that you can think of for the next two centuries, you know? Another question. Yeah. The effects of what? Yeah, I can tell you a lot about it. It depends on whether you have auric offset or not. Auric offset exists in the body when you have your neurons firing off in electrolytes, your photogenic glycolysis, which I use. It's my compound, but I use it. You take that any time, day or night. It doesn't matter. It's not that kind of herb. The brain has got electricity in it. The hormones come from the seven different endocrine glands. They come up, and they fire off these synapses. These synapses fire off frequencies that send an electromagnetic field down through 72,000 nerves in the body. Okay, so that gives me an electromagnetic field. Now, depending on what I'm putting in my body, am I a heavy meat eater alcoholic, or am I a vegetarian drinking a lot of water? That determines the tenderness of how the synapses fire off in the brain, allowing me to be like a dolphin and have sensitive hearing to 150,000 cycles per second versus a human like 16,000. Or to have eyes like a crow or a certain bird that can see like through to another dimension, the astral plane. So the determination of what happens in your body and what your sensitivities are, because your ears, your eyes, your feeling, your smell, your everything, your taste is all based on sensitivity. Okay? Now, if we were to go a little bit deeper into that, we would go right back to what atom in the body? Anybody remember? Hydrogen atom, right? And we look in my book in a chapter where I did some writing, and while I was doing some writing, a Nobel Peace Prize was given. Real interesting. And it had to do with all this sensitivity of consciousness. Because remember, in school, we probably thought that the hydrogen atom, you know, or any atom, was this big thing called a proton and maybe some neutrons, weighed 1,645 times more than electron, whipping around, you know. That's how we thought. And that's consciousness? No, it's not consciousness. What we found in particle physics, because of what are called particle physics, which led into the nutritional field of health, we started accelerating this proton electron at a very high rate of speed and smashing it, called a deuteron, smashing it into things like calcium. And from that smash, we got particles that came out faster than the speed of light. We call these antimatter. And we started looking at these antimatter. And the first thing we saw, as we accelerated this electron, this proton, the electron no longer went around like this. It would stop and do this, stop and do that. This wasn't electromagnetic. This was just dancing in the orbit. Okay? This dancing in the orbit, we found, when we brought this dancing in the orbit phenomenon faster, first of all, we gave the dancing in the orbit a name. We call it P orbitals, S orbitals, W orbitals in science. But then we took this thing faster and faster. We found that this dancing program had characteristics. So we gave these characteristics names like up, down, charm, flavor, and we call them quarks. And these quarks, inside those we found hadrons. Inside those hadrons we found leptons. We found that when leptons were condensing around these things, things got heavy. When these leptons got lighter, things got light. We began to learn about anti-gravity and electrogravity, which I write about in my book. The Peace Prize was given to a couple of people, one in France and one here, to looking at how these particles would densify and dance, getting these charm, flavor, up, down names, and how they behaved in human consciousness. And they found an actual link. And if you take that actual phenomenon and look at a Chinese or any kind of an herb, these things that science, accelerating particles up to make things happen, these characteristics are the same thing that we call characteristics of herbs. Nature had already DNA'd it into these different herbs. So we start looking at, this is the future now, how our hydrogen atom behaves in our body, and we start looking at herb behavioral patterns, and there's a problem with the way the hydrogen is behaving because we're having a heart problem, our cholesterol is too high, we're susceptible to colds, our energy is low, our weight is off. We marry it up to that herb with that frequency, put them together, and boom, cure. The body has healed itself. You understand? So this is why my herb book's not out. But this is where we're at. You're coming up, you're breaching up on where we really are now in New Age nutrition. We're really blasting holes in this stupid medical facility. And the medical facility is so sad because, take for example, foxglove. Foxglove is a great thing if your heart's a little bit weak. It's great. But you extract digitalis from it. For heart patients, you completely destroy the patient because digitalis does not have the coenzymes that foxglove had to make it behave on the human DNA. The human DNA wants to see everything. You know, if you go out with a girl or you go out with a guy, you want her to at least have a head and a couple arms, you know, or a body, you know. But that's what medicine doesn't see that. They see a breast or a buttock or a leg. That's basically how ridiculous medicine is with their treatment of herbs and the stripping of herbs. Yeah. Calcium? No. Two reasons. That's what time they have to calcium. One, it'll put you down. So you take it late at night, it produces serotonin. And you also take it in the morning. In the morning. But you would not take it midday because it clogs up your body the way it's in if you take it through a dairy product. Okay? Okay, another question. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do a lot with, she's asking about where the Pleiadian sounds came from. I do a lot with music. You can order our music tapes. In my book, you can get a free tape with it, a meditation tape. But we recorded a Pleiadian ship in Switzerland with 16 different tape recorders hovering. And that particular tape, you know, that sound, then I took it back to the studio and we started to study what's called the timbre of the music tape. Now, timbre, for you to understand what it is, if you play a piano here and a violin over here, that's timbre. Same middle C scale, but a different sound. Okay? That's timbre. Well, we found that there are certain instruments of consciousness on this planet that bring us timbre. One of them was brought here about the time the Dalai Lama came here, 28,000 years ago, called a sitar. When the person plays a sitar, it's a very complicated instrument to play, it's a string instrument, consciousness, you go into yourself, you relax, things go away, you figure it out. My God, if I had just thought about that problem, it would have gone away. That kind of stuff. So that timbre is what we got from the Pleiadian ship, so we married it with a sitar, we married it with a bunch of synthesizers, and we made this 90-minute tape, and that's what she's referring to, which changes your consciousness. People hear that tape, and it changes their life. Yeah. Another question anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, I have. This is how I got into nutrition. I like to show my legs off. See these legs? Are they okay? No varicose, right? This is how I got in. This is 1965, not NASA. Me, Dr. Fred Bell, then Fred Bell, spacecraft engineer, you know. We were working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 2 years. 65 and 66 we did this because we were behind in the Apollo and Saturn program. I worked on cement floors all day long, 12 hours. The big thing was you could go to work at noon and get off at midnight, or if you wanted to go on vacation, you'd go to work at midnight and get off at noon. That was life, 24 months. I know you guys do it all the time. But the bottom line was I'm walking around on cement floors, and I had tremendous pain in my legs, and I started getting varicose veins, very bad varicose veins. So they started putting me on these tables with the ultraviolet or the infrared, and then have me buy these stretch stockings to get. I was in tremendous pain. I couldn't walk. And I was a young guy in those days. And so one of my doctor friends, way back in 60-something, told me, why don't you try vitamin E? This was it's a true story. I swear to God, this is my first vitamin I ever took. I started taking 1,000 international units of vitamin E every day, and my varicose veins within 1 year were gone. I was not knowledgeable in herbs and vitamins like I am today. I went through the school of hard knocks to learn everything. I was born with polio. I still have a sunken chest. I wasn't the specimen of health. I was very smart in the brain and very sick in the body. The vitamin E, and then you take lecithin with it. Okay? You want to take about the same amount of lecithin with it. And if you want to amplify it, you want to take selenium. It amplifies the effects of vitamin E 50 times. That's called synergistic formulation. In my vitamins, when I formulate them, if you look at them, there's about 200 ingredients on the label, you'll find that a lot of these things synergize and they go in waves to go in your body. You don't take vitamin E or lecithin with vitamin C. You take them 4 hours apart, okay, if you're on strict vitamin C, because they fight with one another. In nature, they don't, but in life, they do. You have a question? Christine. The double Leo.
Well, we're running this puppy down, and it just turned over. So that's what we. Do you want to hear the rest of this? You would have to go back to. Let me see. You'd have to go back to last week or the week before. So that's done, and hope you enjoyed that little blast of fun. And now we will put on another little blast of fun. I want to see. We got about. 15 minutes left. Let's fire up a UFO panel. UFO panels are always my favorite, and that's kind of a nice change, too. Yeah. I'm sure I was on this one, or I wouldn't have the tape.
No woman has ever been raped, or man, for that matter, in the real world.
So this is a UFO panel in Seattle, Washington.
Any woman or man
Washington.
Who says they were raped is either a liar or is mentally ill. Now, can you imagine if that was the government's official policy about the idea of rape, the uproar. Society would say, what damage you're doing to these people who have been through these upsetting experiences. That's the effect of the government cover-up on human beings. I hope it ends, and it's as far as I can see, it's crumbling to little pieces as we sit here. Thank you very much.
One thing I would say along those lines, how many of you saw last October on the anniversary night of the day of the War of the Worlds, that special airing of that TV show where they simulated the comet that was coming to hit Earth that split? What was the name of that? Does anybody remember? For those of you who did not see it, I'm sure they'll play it again, but they did it on a Sunday night, and it was so incredibly done. My mother, you know, who's like, my family, you know, I live in the Bible Belt down there. And, you know, I've been speaking on this stuff for several years, so my mother in the beginning, of course, thought I was a little crazy, was without warning. She called me up and said, Tricia, the aliens are coming. She was watching this television show, and it was so authentically done with CNN, and I mean, I think they had, like, Tom Brokaw, or, I mean, they had gotten the big guns in to simulate this whole thing, and the only way you knew it was fictional is on the commercial break, they put this little disclaimer that said, this is a fictional program, da-da-da-da-da. But it was done with all the skeptics and all the, you know, the scientists who said, yo, these are not comets, these are intelligently guided craft and so forth. And it was very, very interesting because I think it was like, you know, they were testing the public. It's exactly what they were doing to see how what our reaction would be. Yes? Did you all hear that? She said here in Seattle, the next day the police had over 200 phone calls from people thinking that it was real. Now the difference is that we weren't jumping out of buildings. As Sean said, we were probably going, save us, save us. You know, in 1938 when they played War of the Worlds, people were like freaking out and jumping out of buildings. And so we really have shifted a consciousness in a tremendous way in the last two generations. We still have two wonderful people to cover, and I know we want to get to questions. So, Vance, if you would hop up here and take 5 minutes, and then Fred five, then we'll write your questions down. I also want to send around a mailing list. If you would please just start down here and put your name and address. Anybody here who has any literature and you'd like to be on their mailing list, we'll include you, okay, if you would start that. And please put my notebook in the back and the end. I don't want it to be lost. Here from Vance.
Thank you. Welcome to the year of change, 1995. It's going to happen. We were told in 1990 that it was going to occur, and I think everyone here on the committee or on the panel agrees that it's going to occur. This is the year. I'll read some for you. Some of you may not know who I am or what I did. In July of 1990, a group of six U.S. Army intelligence specialists from the 701st MI Brigade, 713th MI Battalion in Augsburg, Germany.